Welcome to worship. What follows is a complete pre-recorded worship service centering on the stories of Elijah. So we're on part four of that story. Everything that you need for worship is typed below in the text of this sermon entry. So all of the lyrics for the songs that are sung, as well as the words for the creed that's used during the service. If you wish to receive Holy Communion, you can enter the Zoom room. That's open on Sunday, July 5th at 11 a.m. We have Holy Communion from 11 to 11:15, then fellowship from 11:15 to 11:30, and then we have a time of talk back about the texts of the day, about the sermon, about the worship service in general, a time to talk about what God is doing and how you have received that message and anything else you would like to say. That's from 11:30 until noon. So you can tune in for any part of that by entering and exiting the Zoom room. There is a link for that room also in the text below. Welcome to worship, and we pray that you are blessed by this time to praise God in worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Let us pray. You let us choose, O God, between you and the false gods of this world. In the midst of the night of sin and death, wake us from our slumber and call us forth to greet Christ, so that with eyes and hearts fixed on him, we may follow to eternal light. Amen.
The tribes renewed the covenant. From the book of Joshua, verse 24. Now therefore revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you, after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourselves, and that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. And he said, Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God.
ELW 697, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
After a while, God sent Elijah back to King Ahab, for God was about to make it rain. When Ahab saw Elijah, he knew that he was what he called a troublemaker. Hear now a reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 20. So King Ahab summoned everyone in Israel, particularly the prophets, to Mount Carmel. Elijah challenged the people, "How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, then follow. And if it's Baal, then follow Baal. Make up your minds." Nobody said a word. Nobody made a move. Then Elijah said, "I am the only prophet of God left in Israel, and there are 450 prophets of Baal. Let the Baal prophets bring up two oxen. Let them pick one, butcher it, and lay it out on an altar of firewood. But don't ignite it. I'll take the other ox, cut it up, and lay it on the wood. But neither will I light the fire. Then you pray to your gods, and I'll pray to God. The God who answers with fire will prove to be, in fact, God." All the people agreed. "A good plan. Do it." Elijah told the Baal prophets, "Choose your ox and prepare it. You go first. You're the majority. Then pray to your God, but don't light the fire." So they took the ox he had given them, prepared it for the altar, then prayed to Baal. They prayed all morning long, "Oh, Baal, answer us." But nothing happened. Not so much as a whisper of a breeze. Desperate, they jumped and stomped on the altar they had made. By noon, Elijah had started making fun of them, taunting, "Call a little louder. He is a god, after all. Maybe he's off meditating somewhere or other. Or maybe he's gotten involved in a project. Or maybe he's on vacation. You don't suppose he's overslept, do you, and needs to be woken up?" They prayed louder and louder, cutting themselves with swords and knives, a ritual common to them, until they were covered with blood. This went on until well past noon. They used every religious trick and strategy they knew to make something happen on that altar, but nothing happened. Not so much as a whisper, not a flicker of a response. Then Elijah told the people, "Enough of that. It's my turn. Gather around." And they gathered. He then put the altar back together, for now it was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Jacob, the same Jacob to whom God had said, "From now on your name is Israel." He built the stones into the altar in honor of God. Then Elijah dug a fairly wide trench around the altar. He laid firewood on the altar, cut up the ox, put it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 buckets with water and drench both the ox and the firewood." Then he said, "Do it again." And they did it. Then he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. The altar was drenched and the trench was filled with water. When it was time for the sacrifice to be offered, Elijah the prophet came up and prayed, "O God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make it known right now that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I am doing what I am doing under your orders. Answer me, God. Oh, answer me and reveal to this people that you are God, the true God, and that you are giving these people another chance at repentance. Immediately the fire of God fell and burned up the offering, the wood, the stones, the dirt, and even the water in the trench. All the people saw it happen and fell on their faces in awed worship, exclaiming, God is the true God. God is the true God. Elijah told them, grab the Baal prophets. Don't let one get away. They grabbed them. Elijah had them taken down to the brook Kishon, and they massacred the lot. Elijah said to Ahab, up on your feet, eat and drink, celebrate. Rain is on the way. I hear it coming. Ahab did it, got up and ate and drank. Meanwhile, Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bowed deeply in prayer, his face between his knees. And then he said to his young servant, on your feet now, look toward the sea. He went and looked and reported back, I don't see a thing. Keep looking, said Elijah, 7 times if necessary. And sure enough, the 7th time he said, oh yes, a cloud, but very small, no bigger than someone's hand rising out of the sea. Quickly then, on your way, tell Ahab, saddle up and get down from the mountain before the rain stops you. Things happened fast. The sky grew black with wind-driven clouds, and then a huge cloudburst of rain, with Ahab hightailing it in his chariot for Jezreel. And God strengthened Elijah mightily. Word of God, word of life. This clash between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah is an age-old clash, and it continues to this day. This might seem like it's a once-and-done kind of event, but this actually happens every day, all the time. See, Baal was a false god. He was the god of thunder and therefore of rain, and the 450 prophets of Baal worshipped that god and called upon that God's name for all sorts of things, particularly for rain. So when King Ahab became a worshiper of Baal, it should have come as no surprise to us that God sent the prophet Elijah directly to the king and to tell him that there was going to be a drought. This is a way of God saying, you want to worship false gods? You're going to get what you get when you turn your worship away from me. Because, of course, when we worship gods who are not the true God, those gods have no power to deliver. They have no power to rescue us. They have no power to sustain us. They have no power to redeem us. They have no power to save. And so Elijah goes to Ahab and announces this drought, and the drought lasts 3 years. When Elijah returns to Ahab, Ahab is still adamant to prove that Baal is the true God and that God is not, and so calls 450 prophets and Elijah to a showdown on a mountain to call upon the names of their gods to settle the fact once and for all. Who really is God? And I started by saying this happens all the time, and it does, but in much more subtle ways. We knowingly or unknowingly, and I think mostly unknowingly, worship false gods all the time. We do that whenever we expect something and someone who's not God to deliver what we want, as if we can pray the right way or pray enough or invest ourselves enough, and then the world will deliver what we think we deserve or what we think we're owed or what even just what we want. But that's like praying to a false god, because that isn't the way that God works. And so we may invest our time and our energy in prayer or even in physical effort or intellectual effort even, living in a particular way, thinking that we're following God, when in fact the one to whom we are directing our prayers is an absent God, because That God doesn't exist. The one true God operates in a really reliable fashion. The one true God calls us to community, calls us to unity, calls us to look out for the least amongst us. The one true God calls us to look out for those who are suffering or being left out, those who are being marginalized, those who don't have enough, those for whom our policies and social constructs are insufficient. The one true God calls us to common good and to continually expand our understanding of what the common good is and who's included in it. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about how Elijah was sent to Ahab to bring bad news, the bad news of the drought, and that bad news was for everyone. And I used this example because that sermon was preached shortly after George Floyd was killed by the police in Minneapolis. And I said, it's bad news when the police abuse their power. It's bad news for everyone. But what I didn't say is that it's also bad news for the police. What I neglected to say is that our police forces are filled with good people. People who stand for justice and righteousness and safety. People who put their lives and their physical well-being on the line. People who sacrifice financially to serve the community. And when I failed to say that, it created a rift between me and the community that could only be corrected by confrontation. And so it was a little meeting on the hill. If we use the analogy of the prophets, it was a meeting on the hill between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah. Because I thought I was saying all that needed to be said, but in fact I wasn't. And in thinking I'm following God and finding out I'm actually not, being made aware of that, there's a sting of responsibility. There's a sting of sensitivity. There's a sting that I have unknowingly hurt a whole cadre of people that really should be applauded. Because what happened when George Floyd was killed is that suddenly all police became the enemy. They became the villain, but that's actually not true. What is true in our daily living is that we have to call out the people who disobey orders. We have to call out people who abuse their power and their authority and their position. It includes not only the police, but it includes our pastors, which is what happened to me this week, right? It includes our pastors. It includes our teachers. It includes the heads of our family and the heads of our state that we have to call out injustice at the same time that we have to uplift the just. We have to say these are exceptional cases, and not everyone in that position is culpable for those same actions, right? So that as we build a just society, what we do is call out the egregious injustice we see at the same time that we lift up the just and we pray for their well-being. And I know well enough that we pay for the sins of others, right? So clergy everywhere are paying still for child abuse at the hands of some clergy in some denominations, right? But we all kind of pay the price. And there are prices now that our police officers are paying that they rightfully shouldn't have to pay. And so I said, you know, this happens all the time, this confrontation between the false God and the true God, between what's false or what's incomplete and what's true. And these painful moments, if we stand in responsibility, if we stand on the truth and we stand in awareness and we stand in responsibility that God does redeem us, we're made stronger. Our community somehow is knit together with more integrity. You know, when we don't call people on the injustice they cause, it just causes our whole society to have no integrity. But when we're called on that injustice, and when we're called on that out of integrity, and we can take responsibility and stand together and mend, you know, whatever rift has been created, whatever pain has been caused on both sides, that we come out stronger. We really do know that we're better together. And this moment in the saga of Elijah is the beginning of God becoming known to people. We actually saw it a bit earlier with the widow of Zarephath, you know, that Elijah didn't need to be sent to her for his sake. He needed to be sent to her for her sake so that she would know who was God. And so this showdown on the hill between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah is really for King Ahab, so that he might see in his power and his out integrity who is the one true God, so that he might see where he has been false and incomplete and have the chance to true himself up. Thank God that Elijah has the courage to stand and to point to the one true God, to keep calling people to community, especially those in power. May you have that boldness and that courage to stand and point to the one true God. Do it with love and do it with integrity for your sake and for the sake of our whole community. And God will show, mighty to save, strong to unite, faithful to redeem, and to mend every hurt. Grace and peace be with you. Amen.
ELW 773, Precious Lord. Thank you.
The creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions, and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God the Provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our holy brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God the Provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the Spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God the Provider. Amen.
As we think about showdowns on the hill between false gods and the one true God, we think about how our God calls us to do one very important thing, and that is to make the pain of the people around us our own, to make their pain personal and important to us, and thereby to shift our understanding and to shift our compassion and our concern, to build relationship and to build community. And so with that shift in mind, we turn our hearts toward God in prayer for all who are in pain. Holy and gracious God, we think of those who are suffering the pain of loss, especially our hearts turn towards Larry Hoogie's family as he passed away this week. And so we think of Trudy and her family and all who mourn, and particularly those who continue mourn losses that are many months in passing, people who continue to mourn the loss of those that they hold so dear, those for whom the loss never seems to lessen and the pain never seems to subside. We pray, O God, that you draw them close to our own hearts just as they are drawn close to yours, and that you give to them your comfort and your peace and your compassion. Help us to rise up and to be their family and their community. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, we pray for our local, provincial, and federal police officers, all who give their lives in service of the public good, who risk their physical well-being and even their lives, and their families who make sacrifices on our behalf. We pray that you protect them from the sting of condemnation that is not theirs, that you heal their wounds, and that you enable them to serve with strength and pride, and that you help us all to grow in compassion towards them, in gratitude for their service, in thankfulness for their sacrifices. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, we offer to you all who suffer in body, mind, or in spirit, all who are sick, feeling anxiety, all those who are fed up with isolation, all those who want their churches back the way they were, for all the minor and major struggles of your people. God, we pray you would turn our hearts and compassion towards those who are sick and those who are struggling. Help us to make their pain our own pain, that we might respond with care and compassion when people's responses are different from our own. Grant us all your grace and your light. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. And we lift to you, O God, all who have compromised immune systems, all whose health is fragile. We pray that you would give us hearts of compassion and understanding and care for those who are more vulnerable than we are. Help us to act with compassion and care with social isolation, wearing masks and washing our hands for the sake of the most vulnerable in our community. God, give us hearts to understand that the health of the most vulnerable in our community is the primary concern of all in the community. And grant your protection, your grace, and your healing to all of us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We offer to you, O God, all whose hearts are turned towards selfishness, who are turned towards self first, toward independence first, who are me first. And give us, give our whole community hearts of understanding to understand their framework and their situation, that we might have compassion for them. But we ask, O God, that you would turn the hearts of everyone in our community toward the whole of the community, toward the whole of what's good for all of us, that you might give us strength to work together, that you might give us interdependence over independence. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. And we ask, God, that you would strengthen your church on earth, that you would help us to see you, the one true God, that you would help us to see that our false gods are no gods at all, that they don't even exist, that they have no power, and that in you alone rests our hope for health, vitality, life, joy, and the abundance of all of the fruit of your Spirit. Strengthen your church throughout the world, that it might in this time be a voice of leadership and compassion, a source of inspiration and strength, and that hearts might turn toward you. Help us to be of service in your name, O God. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the leaders of the nations, for the leaders of our healthcare systems, for all of our doctors, and we pray for our media, that they might get their reporting accurate, that as we gather our information from bits and pieces and different sources to determine our own personal actions and our corporate actions, that our media might be a support to all of us. Give them the voice of truth and the spirit of compassion for our country and for the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the nations, O God, especially for the United States and Canada celebrating their nationhood this week. We pray that you guide leaders in developing just policies, that you guide difficult conversations, that you free us from patriotism that hinders relationship building, turn our hearts and our minds toward the common good, and lead us in expansive love for our neighbors. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
ELW 742, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Just as Elijah stood on the mountain in a showdown against false gods, go out into the world free. Free to worship, adore, and serve the one true God. Stand for truth, stand for justice for all, and stand for the good of the community. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. It has been so good to worship in this way, to gather together virtually, and we continue to give thanks for the ability to do so, for the time in which we live that allows us to connect and to worship, even though we are apart. As you know, we would be celebrating Stampede in Calgary this week, and so we are all feeling the loss of our biggest public celebration. But to sort of make up for it, we have an online Stampede here on our website, and we invite you to take a look. So yahoo and enjoy the activities that are here to celebrate the spirit of Calgary and the spirit of Stampede. Peace be with you all.